Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Down the block, Andrew Johnson. Inside for Elba.
So, bit of breaking news. Again, this is all just rumours and whispers, but Danny Wilder has tweeted out that the Rabbitohs are chasing Dom Young pretty hard, which when you look at squad makeup and we talk about outside backs with the Rabbitohs, would make sense that they're chasing the outside back. We've been talking about it for quite a while. Danny Wilder's also said that, you know, they're using the big gun. Sam Burgess has been talking to Dom Young. So Dom Young is actually contracted for 2023. So maybe this is for 2024, but I mean, his performance last year was great. Then his performance at the World Cup was incredible. Do you see, could the Knights lose a guy like Dom Young?
I think quite possibly. I think he was up in Queensland the week before as well. So I think he's seen a few clubs at the moment, Dom Young. Which I think there should be a lot of clubs after him. When you have a look at, now obviously last season was great, but where you look at how much he improved in the 12 months before that, like I'll be honest, when I first saw him, like he had his body and everything was amazing, but his reads were so far
so
off
bad
that, like, I thought he so might bad not last half a season here. He's improved. He's one of the most improved players in this competition.
And credit to him for sticking it out. 100%. He could have gone home, back to England. He stuck it out.
Which I think will make Newcastle filthy if they lose him.
Well, they discovered him, like, what, playing local league or something over there?
Yeah.
Like local league England or some shit like that. There's a, I think it was like 17-year-old, 18-year-old. And then COVID happened, then he couldn't get across or something along those lines.
The one thing that makes it interesting is that they have also got the two young English fellows coming next year, Newcastle. So I wouldn't be surprised if they thought that might sweeten that deal a little bit. But yeah, I think there'll be a lot of big clubs interested in Dom Young.
What do you reckon, Timmy? What Knights fans have something to worry about?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the performance we've seen in the last 12 months, of course they're going to, he's going to attract interest across the board. And it's, I'm a little bit, I think there's a lot of hype around Dom Young. And when you're 2 metres tall, you're one of the quickest in the game, you're a strong body, you have every reason to at 21 years old. And Guru makes a great point that he developed his game in such a 12-month period so quickly. I'm probably not as convinced as a lot of people, only because of his defence. And in attack, sky's the limit. But you've still got to be a good defender at NRL level. And we saw him, we've seen him caught out time and time again, and we see him get caught out the back end of the World Cup. England had some easy games early on in the World Cup when it got to the crunch games, and he missed a few, had a few poor reads. So he's one of my the most intriguing prospects for me going into this season because, you know, he's 21 years old. He has every right to be missing, making poor reads, and he was going from English rugby league to the NRL. You know, very different games in a lot of regards. So there's no reason why he can't fix that. But if he wants to be an elite outside back in the NRL, he has to do that. Yeah. Can he do that? Some players go their whole careers and they're in and out of first grade because they can't get their defensive reads sorted. So I want to see that from him first. There's no reason why he can't. But, yeah, we'll see how Dom Young turns out.
It's interesting because he's got this added thing of being English, but even if you looked at him like a normal winger, like you even look at Brian Tottle's first few years, I don't think anyone would bet the house on that he would turn into the player he would. Like his first year, I think, he was solid, good, strong ball runner. Did we think he was going to turn into a bloke that is just blowing stats out of the water, like totally impacting games, turning on their heads. Like, he had the potential, but him to actually get there, I think it's a normal journey. You're right, though, that a lot of players struggle to make that journey. I think it all matters the system he goes to. I can't see a Roosters, a Rabbitohs, a Storm, I can't see any of them not being able to get something out of a guy like Dom Young. You know, I can't see them, as long as he stayed at those clubs and obviously, you know, put his best foot forward, he's so athletically gifted. Their systems are so, I just can't see how they couldn't get it out of him. You know, there may be rocky road, but I feel like they could get, he's just a genetic freak. Like, he's massive and he's so quick for how big he is. And although his reads still do need work, if you took his version of defence now compared to when he first rocked into the NRL, it's like night and day. Still needs to improve.
And that's it. At a team like, you said, the Roosters or Storm, Panthers, whatever, he'll sit on the end of a back line and probably top the try scoring charts 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
And defensive reads, because the blokes inside you are so well drilled and, you know, you're winning play laws, you're winning the ruck, all of that, they won't be as difficult. So if he lobs in one of them clubs, happy days. If he's at one of the less clubs where those opportunities don't happen and you have to make a lot of defensive reads,
yeah,
I have that worry, does he end up like a Greg Marzu, who, with ball in hand, he's one of the best wingers in the game.
Yeah.
But he's in and out his whole career because he can't get his defence right. Mm. And again, I'm being critical. Dom Young, he could nail it and just be like the next best winger in the NRL. But where he lands could have a big say in that.
Yeah, huge say. Huge say. But it's interesting, the Rabbitohs, big Sammy Burgess trying to get him across there. Could you imagine him in a Rabbitohs jersey? Again, all rumours and speculation, guys. Just chat.
It would solve a problem, though, wouldn't it?
Solve a massive problem.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, their back line looks like, you know, you got Campbell and Graham in it. You got Dom Young in it. You got Latrell Mitchell, Alex Johnston.
There's a lot of big teams in this competition that are, you know, genuine premiership threats that are probably one back line player short.
Mm.
Roosters are as well. I would say Melbourne are as well.
Mm.
Probably just...
As in, you know, reckon Roosters are a back line? Oh, because of the centre position. Yeah,
trying to work out that centre spot.
Yeah, apologies.
Storm, like, if the Storm, if Pappy doesn't come back, which hopefully he will... Pappy doesn't come back to his absolute best. I still think that there's a few question marks in that Melbourne Storm.
We saw their depth last year really struggled when the depth come in. It just wasn't the same.
Yeah, so I reckon they'll... Yeah, it's going to be a pretty hot property, I think.
Yeah, wow. Dom Young in another club. Hopefully Knights fans, though, they keep him, because that's the... Like, you wouldn't consider they developed him in the sense, like, from a junior, but, like, they don't get... Nothing. If he goes on to be a superstar, they spotted him from literally nothing. And look, every club goes through it. They spot some young kid from a teenager and then they get taken by another club. But that would be devastating, especially the position the club's in right now. But really interesting. Gun to head, do you think he stays or goes?
Based on some of the meetings that it looks like he's having, I would probably lean towards going. Honestly.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, if he's being shopped around, obviously not by the Knights, but his manager's taking him around the whole of the NRL, probably leaves.
I just think that because he's going to have such big clubs after him, it's almost going to be too good to refuse.
Yeah.
If the Knights were going well in the top six side, I think you'd find that, like, it's easier to be like, you know what, they gave me a crack, rah, rah. But with the Knights, I mean, they don't even know who their coach is going to be next year. Like, the coach is under pressure right now. There's a lot of questions with the Knights, whereas, like, when you get the big dog clubs come after you, willing to offer you a decent wage, you're a good chance of winning a premiership. It's all, like... We use the salary cap to balance everything out. But is it really balanced? Like, is it really as balanced as we think it is? Like, everyone has the same amount of money. But is the Roosters coming to you the same as... Let's say Roosters come at you with a 250 grand contract. And then, you know, the Titans or the Knights come at you with a 250 grand contract. Which holds more value?
Obviously, the Roosters.
Yeah, you know, so like it's...
But I also think the situation would be so much worse without the salary cap.
Oh, I'm not saying get rid of the salary cap.
So it's...
I'm saying, like, we need to find ways to make up that difference.
Yeah.
And so that difference could be, hate to say it, a draft. Because if you're a lower tier team, at least you get a crack at the next big talent, a way to get off the bottom of the table. Whereas, like, at the moment, you know, unless you get really not lucky but just have this crazy recruitment drive, it is quite tough to get to consistently get off the bottom of the table. Like, over the last 20 years, who's been... You've got that crazy stat in regards to the teams that have won the comp or coaches, something like that?
Yeah. I think over the last... What was it, Matty? Over the last... I think the 35 premierships, 22 of them have been won by Wayne Bennett, Tim Sheens, Ricky Stewart, Trent Robinson, Craig Bellamy, and Ivan Cleary.
Mm. And so it's like, to be consistently to get up there, it's tough.
It's
and
then, tough.
And yeah. It should be tough. It should be tough. Like, we're not saying give handouts or anything like that. But it's just that finding that balance between when the Roosters come at you with 250K, it's almost worth fucking 500K.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it can be done. Like, if we were sitting here in 2013 and we said, geez, if you're the Penrith Panthers and the Roosters offer you a contract, which one are you going to take? Yeah. You're obviously going to take the Roosters.
Yeah.
Like, the narratives can
It absolutely can be
it's
done.
It's hard, no doubt about it. But
I think that the difference, I guess you could make the argument with Penrith, is the fact that they literally are sitting on the heartland of rugby league right now with the biggest talent pool you can pull from. And also, they didn't get lucky.
Sitting in a bad spot, though.
Sorry. Well, they didn't get lucky, though. Like I'm not saying they got lucky with Cleary, but like Cleary is a generational talent. Mm. And so even if, let's say the Knights had Cleary coming through, I can see the same thing happening at the Knights because, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I agree with you. It can be done. I just think there's a lot of factors at the moment. Look, to be fair, though, when you look at some of these clubs that are struggling, you could point out a million reasons. Like the Knights, the fact that they've let so many young developing players go to other clubs that are in their area, and we're talking about some of the biggest superstars in the game, I'd be looking towards that before the salary cap, for sure. Like that's the thing you can control, and that's the thing that hasn't been done great at the Knights. But I do think that 250K from certain clubs is not the same as 250K from other clubs.
Oh, it's not.
And I don't know how you bloody...
If you're Dom Young, I don't know. What do we think Dom Young's worth? What do you reckon?
Oh, it's tough because he's not proven yet. Proven he can play really fucking well.
Mm.
But I wouldn't put him in the same category as like a Tupou, the Toos. I wouldn't put him in a top tier wing category yet. Okay. But he could get there. He has a physical ability. I'd probably play...
Is that too high still?
Maybe too high for a winger. Maybe 350.
Oh, I reckon on potential he could pull five.
I could see that. What do you reckon, Timmy?
I think he'll get the five plus somewhere on potential.
Mm.
If I was behind it, I'd be probably 350.
Yeah,
three
350 is where I'd want to land him.
But there will be a club out there that'll pay on potential.
But the good thing is it's not going to be the Roosters.
We speak about this quite often about paying on potential. That's often around a key position in the halves or a fullback. Paying on potential for a winger, how much extra does that get you? I wouldn't pay anyone, probably 350 at this stage.
Yeah.
He could come out the first 5 weeks of this season and just be unstoppable and then just go whack. That's how close he is, but, you know.
Yeah.
And as you said, it's not an even playing field. Like, realistically, if the Roosters are offering you 350, I think if you're a team at the bottom ladder, you need to go 550.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the tough thing is like, how do we fix it? And then, and to be fair, like the Roosters, the Storm, the Rabbitohs to a degree, all those teams that are like a powerhouses now, they worked their asses off to get there. They didn't just fucking appear there. They worked their asses off to get there. So it's not like they were given that. It is just an interesting dynamic on how do you combat that? Like, I'm not sure how you do it. I still think I like a draft. I think a draft would be really cool. I think it's good for content in regards to fan engagement. I think it gives fans a reason to stay engaged. It also gives fans a reason to watch people coming through. But I don't know how it would work, obviously.
Yeah, I just don't think we have the underneath to make a draft work. And I also think that even if you have a draft like, you know, Sam Walker, for example. Tell me Sam Walker's half the footballer he is if he's not at the Roosters and if he's at one of those bottom four clubs.
Mm. I guess from a fan's perspective, you're not looking at that. You're looking at, like, I want a chance to get
off
the bottom.
Oh, for sure, but in a few years' time, you will be.
Mm.
When you pegged all your hopes consistently on these draft picks that aren't working out for you because you don't have the system to bring an 18, 19-year-old into the competition.
I wouldn't be so sure that they don't work out. Like, to just say that for the 5 years they're just not going to work out, I think that drafts can...
These teams don't hang around for 5 years with young halfbacks. We see it year and year again.
Yeah, we'd be in a different environment, though. Like, it would be a different... Like right now, obviously they don't hang out. But if you were to get, as I said, like if you got Nathan Cleary coming out of school in a draft at the bottom of the table, he genuinely could lift you to the top of the table. Like he's like the Penrith Panthers are outside the eight. Mm. You know, if you got any of the, and I guess that's the risk of a draft is if you do land that guy, franchise changing. It seems to work. I mean, the bloody NBA does it, NFL does it. I understand they've got different systems underneath.
AFL
does it.
And
it seems like does AFL have as much dominance at the top as NRL? That'd be interesting to find out.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
That'd be really interesting to find out if AFL have a similar situation to the NRL where you've basically got Storm, Roosters, and then Penrith now that are over the last 20 years, if they haven't won a comp, like...
Chops and changes quite a bit.
In AFL?
Yeah, I don't follow it closely, but closely enough.
Yeah.
Geelong are thereabouts most years.
Mm.
But you know, Richmond have had their moments. They've been up and down. Collingwood are always up and down. Like it's the Swannies are always a game thereabouts, but it's... There's not, again, I might be completely wrong in saying this, but there's not too many teams who just your Roosters, Storm, who just year in, year out are top four.
I think in the last decade or so, they've had a three-peat with Hawthorn. I think they had, I don't know if Richmond was a three-peat.
That three-peat was like 06 to 09 or something. Oh, sorry, 07 to 09.
Hawks?
Around
then. Yeah, Hawks was 14, 15, 16, or 13, 14, 15, I'm pretty sure.
Was it that? Yeah, right.
Oh, doesn't matter.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. And then Richmond had a dominant period recently, but like those two teams both have had downs in the last 10 years as well. So I'm with you, Timmy. I don't really know a lot, but going off that, it wouldn't be as dominant, except for maybe Geelong.
Oh, I agree with you from a content perspective. It's my wet fucking dream, David.
It would be incredible. It'd be incredible. I'll let Alex McKinnon, I did an interview with him recently, and that podcast will come out in a few weeks. Have a listen, because he's a draft fan, and he actually, I won't steal his thunder. He has what I think is a pretty good fucking thing to put forward to the NRL. Obviously, it's going to cost money, all that kind of shit. So wait for that interview to drop so you hear Alex McKinnon's thoughts. And maybe later in a few weeks' time, we'll revisit the draft thing once we've got a bit more information. We'll get Matty to look at the AFL. And maybe, Matty, if you could like go to the AFL and see, go the last 25 years or whatever, and then compare to NRL and see if there is a difference in who's won the premiership. And I think that might be a really good indication over a 25-year period. If there is no difference, then maybe a draft doesn't make a fucking difference.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.